You hear that? That's the sound of Pepsi Zero Sugar, the better tasting, more refreshing Zero Sugar Cola. Listen to that endless pour. Pure refreshment. If it sounds this good, just imagine how it tastes. Oh yeah, so good. Pepsi Zero Sugar. Let your taste decide.
This is your spoiler warning for every movie ever, because Jim is probably going to spoil most of them. So just let's get that out of the way. Here's your warning. 3, 2, 1.
Oh, hi. This is the first podcast, and this is me, Jim. And here we go, I guess.
All right. My name's Joe. I'm going to be the co-host today. And with me, as always, we have Lars.
This is the first podcast. 113,000 people can't be wrong. I'm your host, Lars, who, if you really think about it, would be the wacky one on pretty much any other podcast. And with me, as always, is America's boyfriend, co-host Joe.
That's my name. Jim, you're joining us from Constantinople, and which is a fact that I just made up.
Is Constantinople still a nation? Is that like a thing?
Yeah, that's just a They Might Be Giants song lyric, right? I think. I don't think that's a place.
Yeah.
Isn't it Istanbul now?
Istanbul, not Constantinople.
Hasn't it been Istanbul for 500 years?
Yeah. Yeah, I think for the past 500 years, give or take. All right.
Let me finish the intro, Joe.
Sure.
Okay. This episode is sponsored by Audible as well as patrons like yourself. We'll go ahead and talk about that a little bit later. Now, guest, yes. A.K.A. Jim, before we started the episode, we were talking a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Yes, a little bit. Not much, mm-hmm. But yes. Oh, should I talk about
it? Oh, yeah, introduce yourself. Yeah.
A good time.
Oh, hi. Sorry. Yes, that would make sense. Yes, I'm Jim. I have my own YouTube channel, as well as I am a member of the Pizza Party podcast and do numerous other things. I do a lot of things.
And what is the Pizza Party podcast?
The Pizza Party podcast is the podcast on Rebel Taxi or Pan Pizza's YouTube channel. We talk about animation and stuff. It's basically like four good friends talking for 2 hours on a Sunday night. Is pretty much the best way to describe it. And accurate, that's what it is. So
that sounds like a good time.
It is. It's always, I always have
a great time. Does it feel good to have like three friends that you meet up with every week? Like, I imagine that would just be phenomenal.
No, that's my favorite thing about it. That's why I like try not to miss it. And yeah, I don't know. It's just wonderful having these three friends. We meet up and we're just close, and we don't really talk. We don't get to talk much beyond the podcast. So it's sort of like, this is our time.
Yeah.
Mm.
And you know, I can shut everything down and do this for 2 hours. It's like, and then there's usually some guests who we ignore or whatever, you know.
Do you think it would be different if there were like 30 of you guys and it was like 30 friends on Sunday night for 2 hours?
I think that would be a little different. I think, yeah, okay. Because that would be impersonal maybe. I mean, I don't, do you, it's like, could you be personal friends with your entire class in elementary school? I don't think
so. That reminds me of this weird thing that happened in my high school. Okay. So this is, I mean, this is relevant to no one. It's just an interesting like anecdote is at my high school, there was like this major clique of kind of the preps slash like the, I don't know, like the kids who were kind of in charge, I guess, of social activities and stuff. And there was like 20 to 25 of them that all made best friends with each other. And that stayed after high school to the point where like they're now in their late 20s, early 30s. And every time they get together, it's like all 20 to 30 of them. And I'm thinking like, that can't be personally fulfilling, can it? Like me and my 25 best buds all getting together. There can't be any emotional depth to that, can there? Like,
that kind of makes me want to throw up.
Yes, it sounds awful.
I think, I don't know. I always assume like they have such a shorthand. They don't even speak at that point.
Yeah.
Like what would be conversation? You know what that person is going to say. So you just like stare, and maybe they've like moved beyond, like they're on another plane of
consciousness,
friendship that I can't even imagine. Like you just think they're just like, they're boring because you know, like people in rom-coms or in real life, they always like, I never want to be that couple in the restaurant who don't talk to each other.
Yeah.
But But hear me out on this. Maybe they're at such a plane of existence you can't even hear their conversation.
It's on a different frequency.
You don't even get it. Like, they're like mind melted. They're like talking about theoretical physics in their heads, or just like what they watched on TV last night. Doesn't matter. But
I guarantee you, that's what's going on.
Which part? One or two?
All of that.
Both at the same time, maybe. See, you can't even.
Channels.
We're not even on that plane.
Like my internet.
What if it's the other way around, though? Like, they're all on caveman brain. They're just sitting around and grunting. Like, oh, friend. Oh, dozen friend. Hang out.
We're friends.
I just think, I don't know. I've never hung out with people who've been friends that long.
I went to a party once, and there was this guy there who was telling me, this was about 10 years ago, so I had just graduated high school, and this guy must have been in his 30s, maybe? Mid-30s or so.
Uh-huh.
And he was telling me about how he was still friends with a bunch of people, I think from when he was in high school or college, and for more than 10-15 years they like once a month they met up. And that seems like more appropriate, like once a month maybe they would.
I mean, I have friends from high school, but not, yeah, I don't, past that it gets murky. You know, it's like,
I think high school friends, you're supposed to outgrow them, and you're supposed to see them about once every 2 years.
Well,
and
that's about right. I mean, most of the people I went to middle school and elementary school, like, I unfriended on Facebook because it was like, ooh, your views are creepy and I don't like you. And that kind of ended. I don't want you to like my daughter's photos on Facebook anymore. You're not worth this. This is you're gone. So.
Where are you? Are you in California, or where? I have no idea. Where are you recording from, Jim?
I'm in Brooklyn.
Oh, right, Brooklyn, now. New York. Wow.
Yes. But I was born in, or I grew up and all that stuff in Baltimore. But then I moved to Brooklyn in the early 2000s.
Yeah, I'm from. How long have you lived in New York?
2002. I came here for college, and I've pretty much
stayed. Okay. Yeah. So we have that in common.
Here it goes. Go ahead, Jim.
We have that in common, Jim. I'm from New York.
Oh, where?
Well, I'm from New Jersey originally.
Oh, okay. Cool. Yeah. Where in New Jersey?
Bergen County.
That didn't even faze him. Wow.
Jim, I'm being serious. I am from New Jersey, but I do this thing where when there's a guest from New York, I tell them, oh, I'm from New York. Yeah, New Jersey. And just to hear their response.
No, I actually know Bergen County. I had like an ex-girlfriend who lived around there, and I had to go there a lot because that's where she was.
Yeah.
So
I don't want to.
It was a long time ago because I've been with my wife for like forever, but you know, it was a long time.
I don't want to dox myself and say like what, like the city that I lived in, but if you're familiar with like a t-shirt.
What t-shirt?
Like
what
the neck of a t-shirt.
T-shirts in general?
The neck of a t-shirt. You know what I'm saying? Like a t-shirt neck.
Huh?
Like a t-shirt neck.
I'm confused. What's going? Is this a bit?
No, I'm trying to be. I'm not trying to. So there's a city.
Okay,
there's a city called T-neck. I'm from T-neck.
Oh,
T-neck.
Okay. I've never been there. I know of it though.
All right. Wait, Joe.
Sorry.
Dox. Yeah. How is that doxing? Like someone would be able to discover where you were like 20 years ago.
Like 27 years ago.
Since?
No. I've never returned.
All right. Okay. So.
Wow.
Sorry. Sorry for that confusing.
It's okay. It was interesting.
Awkwardness on my end. Yeah.
Oh, my grandma's texting me right now. This is weird. Joe, carry the show.
While Lars is taking care of that, why don't we talk about more about Brooklyn? What do you like about living in Brooklyn?
I mean, right now Brooklyn is my apartment, and it has been all of COVID. So with my daughter and my wife. Mm. But normally, where I'm not going to say what part of Brooklyn I'm in, but, it's nice with my daughter just because there's a lot of parks. She basically only stays in Brooklyn.
Okay.
And it's multicultural. It's like, it's nice. It's like a little like homier. I think Manhattan, when people think New York, they think Manhattan.
Yeah, for sure.
But like when you go to Brooklyn, it's like more chill, like homey.
Hi.
Brooklyn's got, you know, everything from Coney Island to Brooklyn Bridge to, I don't know.
Coney Island is in...
Coney Island's part of Brooklyn. Coney Island's part of Brooklyn.
For some reason, I guess I assumed it was Long Island because they both have island in the name.
Well, I'm confused about what is Long Island and what isn't Brooklyn. See, someone's going to get, this is how I'm going to get canceled, because I don't, I know Queens and Long Island is in Long Island. I don't know. It's sure.
Yeah, in this era of racism and bigotry, Jim doesn't know his Brooklyn from his, I tell you, sir.
But I know Coney Island's in Brooklyn. I know that. So, you know, but it,
I should specify that I haven't lived in New Jersey since I was three.
Yeah.
So I went back to visit New York in 2009, and I actually stayed in Crown Heights for 5 days.
Oh, where in Crown Heights?
You know, the Chabad headquarters?
Oh, okay.
Just like a few streets from there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a nice,
very cool,
nice area.
It was beautiful. We stayed in, I went with my Hebrew school, and at the end of the year, they rewarded us for going to like all of the classes with a trip to New York. And we stayed with like rich Jews there, basically. And the house that I stayed in was this mansion. It was like a 4-story. It had to have been like 7,000 square feet. I don't know. It was like 20 bedrooms or something. Just this massive, massive residence. It was. Yeah.
That's where all that, like, it's very residential around that area. Because it's like, it's kind of crazy. I've had to walk through there to get to another part of like more city. Actually, on the other end of it is where, if you saw that movie Joker, there's the place that Batman, spoilers, I guess, where Bruce Wayne comes out of. And I won't tell you what happens to his parents, but you'll have to see the movie. But the theater, the theater he comes out of is like on the other end of that. Which is a cool theater. I saw Mystery Science Theater there. But yeah, it's kind of between like sort of one part of Brooklyn and another is this like basically like the suburbs, which is weird, but it works. I don't know.
When we were there, I went with two of my brothers and a bunch of our classmates, and my brother had his Nintendo DS in his pocket at one point, and we go into like a little corner shop that happened to sell Nintendo DSs, and they accused him of stealing.
Oh,
I remember
that's
that.
Awkward.
Yeah, it was, because he was like in ninth grade at the time, and he was basically arguing with this full-grown man like, this is my Nintendo DS from home.
I always feel weird when I go into a store and it's like they don't, it's just like an innocent situation where either they don't have what I want or they have what I want, but it's kind of like it's overpriced or like they have like the wrong thing. And so I don't buy anything. And I'm walking past the registers and I'm like, all right, guys, well, I'm just going to leave. I'm not going to buy anything. I hope that's cool. Please don't think worse of me. You know, it's like, I don't know. It's such an awkward situation.
Yeah.
Did you see Michael Kovac just pop into the recall there for a second?
No, that's cool.
That was random.
Oh, I just try to like just ignore the awkwardness and be like, yeah, just kind of leave all like sly, like, hey, bro, that's just how it be.
Yeah. Do you mind if we get topical for a second? I'm not going to like try to get political or anything, but that does remind me of something very interesting.
Real quick. It's also awkward. Like, you go into a restaurant and you look at the menu and they don't really have anything you want. And then you walk out, or like when I was in Europe, I would go into the grocery stores, cause I'm just like obsessed with grocery stores in foreign countries. And then I would walk around for a while and then I would walk out. So
I think grocery stores in foreign countries are worth, I think that makes sense, because anytime I'm in a grocery store in a non English speaking country, I'm like, whoa, this is what they eat? Weird. And then they go, why do you say that out loud? And I'm like, what? Sorry. Or like if they call Doritos a different thing,
yeah,
I'm like, I'll be taking pictures. I'll be texting Nolan. Sure. It'll be like, he'll be like, why did you text me this? I don't
know. He doesn't get it.
Oh, speaking of Nolan, by the way, he has some choice words for you.
Oh, good.
He says perish. Like
perish? Like, oh, I guess he means perish the thought from that Madonna song, which that's what I'm assuming.
I think he means die, but yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Thanks,
of him,
Nolan.
Too.
That's,
you know.
He just DM'd me earlier to say that. Okay, so... All right. So the slightly more topical thing is, this has been on my mind for like weeks now, probably a month, and it must be so weird. Okay, so we have the idea of counterfeit currency, right? And you know, there's obviously going to be
like that. It exists.
Yeah, like you don't always think about it, but let's put it in our brain here for a second. So obviously, there's the, you know, the firsthand people who make it and then try to go spend it, you know, at a convenience store or a grocery store or something, and they try to pass it along.
Okay.
So those people, obviously, we should lock up, but it must be really...
You're trying to spend counterfeit currency?
But it must also be awkward, like, for the people who happen to get a counterfeit bill, because they didn't do anything wrong. So it must be so weird. Like, how do you punish people who use counterfeit currency? Because you don't know if it started from them. It's such a weird topic. I don't know. It's been on my brain lately because of the stuff that we don't have to get into. But
I mean, I worked at a restaurant once, and you knew there's a difference between when you know someone's using counterfeit currency and you know someone doesn't know.
Can you explain that, by the way?
And the difference is where we were, they would just like give you a fake $20 bill for a soda, which would be like, I forget how much it was, like $1, $1.50 something. Just so they could have the change, because obviously then they're making money. But if someone was like, here's 20 and they're spending $18, that's not someone with, usually people who have counterfeit money don't do that. And that's usually the difference. So it's like the self-awareness of giving you counterfeit.
The look on their face and everything.
Yeah. And you can usually tell, because I did catch one person once and I got duped another time. And it was, and you kind of get the vibe something's off. So it's uncomfortable.
Was it an interesting story the time that you caught the guy? Or was that, is that like worth noting?
I just said, look, this is fake. I was like, I can either throw this out. What do you want to do? And then he was like, you're not going to give it back. I was like, no, I don't think I should. And he was like, okay, I'll leave that. And I was like, all right. When you work a restaurant job, it was more like, look, man, I don't want to get fired.
Yeah.
Just leave me alone, please. And leave my coworkers alone. And he said something like, I'm not going to come back. It's cool. Like, it was just like, all right, fair point. And we didn't actually have as many counterfeit problems for a while after that.
You caught the guy.
You know, I mean, I think sometimes, yeah, I guess I caught the guy. I should have maybe like done a citizen's arrest and stuff. But I think it was like,
I'm not
like hour eight. On a double, and I was like, look, just please leave. I don't care. Just don't steal money from me.
Mm-hmm. Maybe I have a controversial opinion on this. I don't know. I'm not sure that we should be locking people up for trying to pass counterfeit bills. Is it like, yeah, like take away their equipment, find out, you know, where they got that equipment from.
Well, I mean, I guess I should have been more specific. I meant like, you know, throw them in jail and then charge them. Not necessarily prison.
Well, I'm not sure that we should be locking them up at all for trying to spend counterfeit bills. Like, take away their machinery, find out where they got the machinery. But I don't know. I think we're really, in this country, I think we're really liberal with who we put in jail and for what. And what is the good in what's the point in putting somebody in jail, really? Like, are they being, unless they're violent, I don't know.
Well, I guess it's to take them out of society.
Yeah.
Teach them a lesson, but it's
teach him a lesson.
Yeah, I guess that's the theory, but it's not. I don't know. Obviously, right now, you know, jailing is like a major issue.
Yeah.
But I do think we need to reassess those things. But the problem with counterfeit, I think, is you are actually stealing from someone.
Yeah,
I mean that's the main purpose of it. Is you're maybe doing it in a theoretically more clever way, but you are still stealing from someone.
You're right. Absolutely. I just think that, you know, we need to. I think the whole system needs reform, so I'm not sure that we should be throwing people in jail for like everything, especially because when you put someone in jail, like it doesn't rehabilitate them. So it's like, what's the point?
Well, I mean, this is also something that they've known forever, that it really doesn't work. I mean, it's like, I think if you've ever seen the movie, I Am a Fugitive from a Chain Gang,
no.
And that's a pretty damning, I would have to get into spoilers to talk about that, and I don't want to because... Everyone should see that movie, and it'll make you go, oh, prison system's always been screwed up. It's almost like we've known, you know, because any, especially movies in the early Hollywood, there's a couple that I've seen where it like really gets into like, you're not so much teaching them a lesson or taking them. I mean, if someone murders someone, I guess like I'm not so down for that. But
right. Then, by all means, take them out of society.
But it's I think.
Well,
I don't know. I just think of how soul crushing the whole thing. But there was like another old movie I saw, and there were these guys, and they're like on a train, And this guy says, oh, we're going by whatever town. You know, I have a brother there. It's a really good time. We should all go. And then he says that and they all like look down and no. And then I think someone after says, oh, we're like 5 minutes away. And it was just like this deafening silence. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, God, that's awful. Yes,
by the way, Joe.
Yeah.
I kind of agree with you especially when it comes to financial crimes. I think that white collar crime in general and just like crimes that involve money should focus on restitution. Like that seems pretty obvious to me as opposed to jailing.
They also could come up with like a lot of these people and police officers and detectives have said this about a lot of people who run both counterfeit and drug organizations and stuff is that these people are insanely creative, insanely smart. Mm. But there's no avenue for them to go into. And like what happened with the guy that movie Catch Me If You Can is based on, he ended up working for the government. That was his like basically his not just I keep spoiling endings of movies, I guess, but the ending, I forget what part of the government he works for, but basically like you can fight counterfeit because you're the best guy in the world at doing it.
Oh, the post office. I think there's,
yeah. Was it the post office?
I don't know. No, I don't know.
He worked for somebody. It's, you know, true story, I guess, you know. But yeah. I think there are ways we can use these people, you know, be like, not like force them, you know, it's like slave labor, which we do in prisons, but right. Like find a way to be like, hey, you just have to work here and, you know, for like 5 years, just help out the government, just, you know, be chill.
Or like offer that to the, like, would you like to? I'm sure a lot of them would, you know.
Well, you run into a lot of problems also where... when people get involved with the wrong people, they might actually choose jail in that situation because although the situation does suck, it means that they're relatively protected, especially from people that are outside the law. Like you get a lot of just tricky situations with that.
Like if like you're in the mafia, you don't want to do that probably.
Yeah.
Also, I think that if you look at why people are counterfeiting money, it's because they're having a really hard time getting by in society. So maybe if we address some of the issues that are causing people to have a really hard time to get by in society, like the minimum wage hasn't gone up in like, you know, 5,000 years and this and that, then maybe you wouldn't have. I'm just kidding. But obviously it hasn't gone up in a long time and it should be a lot higher.
Are you talking about proportionally? Because that is true. Like proportionally, it has really slowed down compared to inflation.
Right. So
by the way, this is a comedy podcast. You guys want to get back to it?
I was like.
Well, I
was like, wow, this is like, what did I do to this podcast? This is maybe my energy?
Yeah, to be fair, man, these things have been on our mind recently, though. Like, this is kind of a serious time for the country and for the world.
I think it's worth having a discussion about. But yeah. Now that we've done that, let's move on to the comedy.
Also, yeah. Also, I'm going to put in a little thing that I can edit in the beginning later. I'm going to say, this is your spoiler warning for every movie ever, because Jim is probably going to spoil most of them. So just let's get that out of the way. Here's your warning. 3, 2, 1.
They were popular.
Jim, last November, you released the third video in a series of Muppet movie reviews, and I watched Muppets on TV growing up, but my most vivid memories of the Muppets are at Disneyland in Muppet Vision 3D. Have you seen Muppet Vision 3D?
No, I've never been to a Disney park, actually.
Oh,
so I have not.
Well, you're in for a treat. I think they still have it at Disney World.
You're in for a treat?
Right, yes.
P.
I mean, I'll probably, if they have it on YouTube, maybe I'll just watch it on YouTube.
I would check it out, Muppet Vision 3D. It's definitely an experience if you're in person watching it, but it would probably still be really entertaining and worth watching.
Which one is World? Is that in
Florida?
Florida? Okay. Well, I know we've talked after the Splash Mountain thing because my daughter's a big Princess and the Frog fan. We're like, oh, maybe we'll actually go now.
Yeah. Yeah. They're changing Splash Mountain, which is themed after the racist movie. What's it called?
Song of the South.
Song of the South, to be themed after Princess and the Frog.
Yeah.
I like all these petitions that are going around lately that are like, remove this Confederate statue and replace it with like Chef Boyardee or Guy Fieri. Like, it's fantastic.
The famous Italian chef.
I support them thinking about making statues of things that will actually make people feel either inspired or happy. Because I'm a little like sick of like, I don't think a lot of historical things think about like, yeah, this was important at one time, but the context of this statue is gone. and everyone's just like, why am I respecting this? Yeah. And as soon as that happens, they should, like, you know, you can put it in a museum. I'm not saying just like throw it in a lake. Yeah. Well, unless they're racist, then throw them in a lake. But like, you know, like, why not have, I've said, let's just put Godzilla, every Civil War statue, just Godzilla.
You're
and
right.
Godzilla is a metaphor for how awful America is too. So you're criticizing America and bringing a smile to your face.
Two birds.
What's better? What? Exactly. It's amazing.
I think we should put even the racist statues. I think they do have a place in a museum, because like if you go to the Holocaust Memorial Museums, they do have racist stuff in there, and it gives you really good perspective on what the people went through. But you're right. You're right that they...
You could make a museum of racism statues, and just you could go and be like, look at statues of racist people.
I think that's where those statues belong.
Oh boy. I don't know what city
would like this statue. What city is like, can we please have the statue, the Museum of Racist Statues?
We should what if we took one city and just made it the Museum of Racism? Like some city, like, I mean, I don't want to shit all over like some city in the South, but just like,
yeah,
put all the racists there. I don't know. That's probably a bad idea.
Guys, comedy podcast, guys. Like,
So farts are a thing. Am I right?
yeah.
I get like, I'm not trying to neuter the conversation, you know, naturally going that way. Just let's rein it in a little bit. Jim, you're into movies, I hear.
Yes. Yes.
Do you have a Letterboxd?
No, because I do that on my YouTube channel. So I don't. Sorry.
Ah, okay. I am also a movie guy. I'm excited to talk to another movie guy because we never get movie guys on the podcast.
Okay, cool.
What kind of movies do you like?
I mean, I like a lot of stuff, unfortunately. I'm kind of like a major big cinephile, but I like classics. I like horror. I like a lot of animation, obviously. I don't know. I don't want to be basic and be like, I like everything, but in a lot of ways I sort of like dipping in and out of different genres and stuff like that. I do like following, also because I run a movie review channel, I like following what's going on and the different trends. And you know,
how often do you watch movies? Like, how many like movies per week?
Depends on the week. I mean, right now, because we're all home during COVID,
right,
I'm seeing movies with my daughter every day, but those are like Princess of the Frog, Book of Life's become a huge one, Frozen and Frozen 2 a lot of times. But for my own purposes, I try to watch a couple a week. I used to go to the theater every week, but anyway.
Not you're not going to the theater these days, Jim?
No, you know, it's they're not open, oddly enough. It's weird. I wonder what's going on.
That's weird.
It's strange. I actually, that's the one thing about this whole thing that's interesting, because for the first couple of months, I was like, you know, when Tenet comes out, I'll be there. It'll be fine. And then, like, I think my wife was like, you know, you're not really going to go to a theater, right? Like, this year, probably. And I was like, no, it's, oh, yeah, I guess.
It's actively getting worse.
That slow realization.
Yeah, it was like, that kind of hurt. But I don't know. Maybe if Chris Nolan puts out hazmat suits for the movie, I'd do it, maybe. But I don't know about if I'm going to go in. But I used to go so regularly. But yeah, I used to see like almost everything I had any interest in at all. I had a kid, and now it's like, what do I have the time for? What, you know, what's the biggest thing? You know, what are the things people are talking about?
Is Frozen 2 any good? I still haven't seen it.
It's fine. I don't think it's going to represent people who are adults now what it's going to represent to my daughters. Like, when they grow up, like, it's the movie that, because Disney put on Disney Plus at the beginning of COVID. I think to that generation, it's going to be, you know, there's going to be video essays on whatever a platform is about the importance of that one.
Yeah,
for sure. But
good timing.
Of Frozen 2?
Of Frozen, yes, absolutely. Like, it's
you're saying that for the kids, it's going to be really important, but for like adults, it's not very important.
Well, I don't think it's a great movie.
Okay.
I'm going to say that. I think it borrows a lot from Star Wars storytelling techniques. Like,
okay,
there's whole scenes where I'm like, oh, they're at Dagobah, basically, this whole movie. And like, Olaf even does the thing that C-3PO does in Return of the Jedi and sums up the first Frozen. And like a lot of things like that. And I think, I also think sequels have a long tradition of wanting to be Empire Strikes Back. And I'm like, guys, please stop. Like, no movie that's wanted to be Empire Strikes Back has ever come close.
Do you think that's like a subconscious thing? That the directors are the right age?
Oh, I think it's very conscious.
I think it's conscious, but I think the main reason people are attracted to that sequel specifically is because Empire Strikes Back basically undid, in a lot of ways, everything that the first one did. And it was very, it wasn't a cool movie. It was literally, and I know this is, people don't want to think about this, but it was The Last Jedi, sort of the first Last Jedi of its day. Because even into the 90s, if I said I like that movie, people were like, oh, I hate that movie. They lose. This is just
number five?
Yes, I guess. Well, the second one released, but fifth one in the episodes. But but I think everyone likes that kind of rock star idea of he followed up a great movie with a great movie. And if you look at all the ones that want to do that, they're like, oh, and I can subvert it, make it darker and more about character. And that sounds so cool. But I don't think they really think about what Empire Strikes Back was playing against, because Star Wars and Empire are sort of very different movies. And I don't think no one's been as good at doing that. It's,
What do you think of Disney owning Star Wars now?
I'm fine with it. I think it makes sense because George Lucas kind of operated as, Walt Disney kind of way when he owned it. But I think the problem is they haven't, I'm not against Kathleen Kennedy before I go into this at all. I think one of the producers with the most Oscar nominations of all time. I think she's number two. Her first movie she produced was E.T. I think she's actually really qualified, but she kind of just picks the biggest directors in the world, and that's sort of boring. You know what I mean? And I wish they had picked more interesting writers and directors.
I've met her. I met Kathleen Kennedy.
Oh, you did? What's she like? I've heard she's nice. Where is she? I don't know.
She didn't say much. I was working in a hotel and she was checking in, but she was with somebody. And in order to check her in, I had to see ID.
Uh-huh.
And I wasn't really checking her in. I was just giving her room key, but I needed to see her ID and the person that was her VIP coordinator. Was Kathleen, they need to see your ID. And I was just to release the room key. And she was kind of annoyed because it was late in the day. Uh-huh. And she didn't say anything don't you know who I am? But she was nice. She didn't say that, but she made some comment even though I'm the president of Lucasfilm or something like that. And then I was I'm really sorry. And that same day, I also met the president of Disney Plus, who was really cool too. So she was nice, but she was tired because it was so late.
I would think, Joe, that someone being of high status, it would actually be more important for you to see their ID.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah. Anyway, so I have some more general questions about movies and movie going and movie experiences and stuff. Because this is, I'm kind of a cinephile myself, and I think about this stuff a lot.
Okay.
And so there's, obviously, this is oversimplifying it, but there's kind of this traditionalist versus new media way of consuming a movie. And for a very long time, I was more of a traditionalist where I wanted to own the movies physically. I wanted to see them in theaters. I worked at several theaters just so I could do that.
Uh-huh.
And over time, I've shifted almost entirely to wanting to consume movies basically all streaming. Uh-huh. And I'll go to the theaters for some big releases, but almost never otherwise. And my philosophy on that is that I just want to experience more movies, and that kind of maximizes my ability to see them. And I know I lose a little bit of something by not having it on the silver screen, but there's this huge industry of entertainment and art that just fascinates me. So that's why I just tend to stream it. Where are you on that spectrum and why?
I'm not against streaming. I do going to the theater, and I like the theatrical experience.
Mm-hmm.
I guess this is a bunch of different answers, I guess.
Go for it.
My biggest concern with theaters right now is that they'll open, but beyond that part, is that I am worried about the theatrical experience in that I do feel like there's a really big division economically that's been going on for a little bit. And where I live in Brooklyn, there was one theater that was the kind of the Regal, and everyone went there because it was the only game in town. and you just all had to go there, and people would complain because I like it when people like get, if it's a bad movie, talk back. And so I get into that. If the if it's a positive thing, if they're just being an asshole, like that's different. But if it's like a dumb movie and we don't care, I'm happy, you know? But a lot of people don't and are a little snooty, and I get that. But what happens, I've noticed, is the multiplex is becoming more of, for the lower economic, lower class, I guess, and places like the Alamo Draft House, things of that nature, which I do like. I've noticed when I go there, I'm like, oh, everyone looks like me. Cool. this sucks. Mm-hmm. And so I am really concerned about that, because I think we're losing what used to be, and maybe I'm living in a liberal dream world or something. But I liked going to the theater, and when the lights go up, I go, oh my God, I didn't think about who's all is here with me, and we're all different, but we all have the same experience, and I thought that was wonderful. Oh. And that seems to be going away, and that I don't like at all. And I think theaters need to, those places need to realize what they're doing, because if you're going to a dine-in theater, that's more expensive, you know what I mean? And not everyone can do that financially.
Right.
And not everyone is going to think to buy in advance, which you often do at those theaters. So it's sort of like, I think we're dividing more than we should. But I think that's like a problem no one's really thinking about right now. So sorry if I went on about that. But I do like seeing movies on the big screen. And if I can, and I feel like it's going to be worth it, I try to. But it's more of a time issue, I think, for everyone at this point. And there's too many movies. But for sorry if I'm like blabbering. But
I wanted to hear your in-depth answers on this stuff. Oh. That's why we have you on.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, with streaming specifically, here's the thing about that. Is when you used to buy a movie on DVD, or Blu-ray or VHS, you effectively own that movie. You can watch that movie whenever you want till that thing breaks or whatever. Problem with streaming is you don't have the rights to your movie anymore. You're effectively paying them rent. And what I tell people, if you really love a movie, if you're like, I want to make sure I always have this movie at my house and I can watch it whenever I want, then buy it on Blu-ray, because that could... As much as I don't think like Snow White or Star Wars is going to disappear from Disney Plus just in an instant, they literally can do that anytime they want. There's nothing legally stopping them from doing
it. Yeah, there's nothing preventing the whole service from going away one day. Like,
that's true too. But
theoretically, sure.
I mean, it's not going to be around 20 years from now. Who knows? Like,
I can take a guess though as to whether it's going to be around.
But I think most movies, it's so much easier to find stuff now that even if you can't find it legally, there's always the other options. But I would say 100%, if you really love a movie and just buy it, because it also shows the companies, you're like, oh, this guy liked it enough that he's going to like buy it. He's going to spend $20 after he already spent the 15 or whatever to see it in theaters. Oh, well, we'll make more of these because we just made a lot of money off that. So I think, you know, as much as if you're really passionate about something, I would still say do that. But I don't love the idea that these companies effectively own how people view movies. And also streaming services don't have a lot of classic films, which I don't, other than HBO Max and Tubi and things like that.
My main, I think, counter argument against that is from my own experience, which is that very few movies truly stand the test of time where I would benefit, I think, from owning them, because most movies I get enough out of consuming once, maybe twice. There are a couple films like Big Lebowski and Scott Pilgrim which reward you for watching it they reward you for watching it over and over again. But
I Shrunk the Kids,
well, you know, I found that streaming does the trick for most movies. I'm a pretty harsh critic, I think. Giggle, giggle.
Well, I think most people only watch a movie once, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not saying you should buy every movie on DVD. I'm just saying, if you really like it, if you're like he said, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. If you really like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, buy the Blu-ray, you know? But if you're like, Honey, I Blew Up the Kid, probably not even going to...
God, not gonna oh my do God. That. That's the worst movie I've ever seen.
Oh, wow.
Oh, really? The worst movie. Joe, do you still agree with me on this? By the way, the worst movie I have ever seen is called Shark Exorcist.
I knew you were going to say that. Is that even, does that even count as a movie?
Yeah. Jim, have you seen this movie?
What's Shark Exorcist, you said?
Yeah.
I have not heard of this. Is it about an exorcism on a shark, or the shark gives an exorcism?
Neither.
It doesn't. It's not really about anything. It's
Yeah. It's about. Okay. So it's about a. So just to preface this, I've seen just an absolute shitload of movies, and like I feel like I'm not trying to sound wanky when I say this, but I'm trying to say, given the amount of movies I've seen, that maybe my opinion like carries a little bit of weight. Like if this is the worst movie I've ever seen, that like out of like several hundreds, maybe thousands at this point, it probably is really that shit. It's a movie about a shark that gets into a lake and there's an exorcist and they kind of meet once and nothing really happens. And the shark eats everyone. It goes to space.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. Very little happens to progress the plot line. Don't the actors change throughout the movie, don't they? The same actors play multiple characters.
Is it worse than Jaws 4?
Yeah.
Wow.
I haven't seen it, but yeah.
My quote on it, and I'm sure other people have said this before, is that it makes The Room look like Citizen Kane.
Wow.
I like The Room. Honestly, I saw it in theaters in LA, and what's his name? Tommy. Tommy was there, and I met him. I stood next to him.
Jim, if you're ever looking for a bottom barrel to compare everything else to, I highly recommend that movie, ironically, because it's just so dreadful.
Shark Exorcist. That sounds fun. I'll write down Shark Exorcist.
Write it down on a sticky note with a Sharpie and stick it to your wall. And
I love the original Jaws a lot, but I also, I like my shark movies two ways, either the best they can ever be or the absolute worst. Between, not interested. Like Jaws 2.
Yeah.
That to me is the worst one because it didn't reach the highs or the lows. If you're in the middle, like get away from me. I don't want you. But if you're like, if the shark's in 3D or the shark somehow finds a way to follow someone to Jamaica, very interested. Or what's it, Shark Night 3D, if you ever saw that one. Like, Sharknado's too obvious. That's too dumb. Like, that ruins it. And you can't be like, hey, this is a serviceable shark movie. Ugh, awful. Not interested. You got to be best thing ever or worst thing ever.
Star Wars Holiday Edition was a top contender for, I'd say, one of the worst movies.
Yeah, that was up there. I wouldn't say it's worse than Shark Exorcist.
No, it's down there. But
yeah, but there's continuity in it. There's familiar characters. It's like,
some
it's
of the
made
scenes
for
were
kids.
Entertaining.
It's, yeah, granted. It's got VR porn. I don't know.
Yeah.
True. Jefferson Starship.
Oh, Jim, can we talk about how massively influential the Rugrats Passover special was?
Yeah. I mean, I watched it recently with my daughter. Passover.
Can you guys help me out a little bit here? Because I have nothing. I don't know what. I have not seen that.
I would say it's even more influential for young American Jews than Joseph's Road to Egypt, El Dorado to Sinbadly.
Well, I would say, you know, I'm not to keep saying I'm not Jewish, but I didn't know much about that stuff. And the Ten Commandments, I don't think is the hot take, I guess. I don't think the Ten Commandments is that great, that movie. Or the commandments. Come on. Only 10. But I think that's more of how I learned about, I think I learned more about that story from Rugrats, even more so than the Prince of Egypt. I think because that we watched that every year as a kid.
Yeah. That Rugrats Passover special actually is fairly representative of, I would say, what it's like to actually go through, because when I was a kid, I watched the Rugrats Passover special and I remember thinking, oh, like that's exactly what it's really like. You go to your grandparents' house who have European accents, and they sit you on their lap and your name is Tommy. No, I'm just kidding. But, yeah. No, it was fairly representative, fairly accurate and educational.
It was kind of, I know the first bunch of Rugrats, the first run of episodes, and then there's the specials, and then they came back after a few years, and those are always not as good, but I feel like that's like the beginning, like the end of when that show was really pretty good.
Yeah, I remember being so surprised as a kid too that they were talking about Jewish stuff, because I don't remember any other show at the time having like Jewish characters. I'm Jewish, so I just remember.
No, I got that. Don't worry.
Yeah,
it's very clear, Joe.
So I don't know. That was probably my favorite episode of the Rugrats growing up too, just because it was.
You know what, Joe? I'm kind of curious about something, by the way.
Yeah.
So it's no secret that, you know, there are a lot of Jewish people in the entertainment industry, and sure. It does seem like there's a lot of surface level Jewish identity in TV and movies. But why do you think there's not a lot of like
what is surface level Jewish identity?
Like someone having a last name that's Jewish, and once in a while they'll go like Oy Vey or something. But it doesn't seem like there's a lot of like comprehensive Jewish identity in media lately. Like that example was like, I can't think of any other good like mainstream Jewish stuff out there right now.
It's out there. You have to look for it, I think.
Why do you have to look for it, do you think?
Probably because most people aren't Jewish, so there wouldn't be much of a reason to have it there. I don't know. Jim, what do you think? You probably have more of a legitimate opinion than I do on it.
I think it's probably because there aren't, like, I don't know what the percentage of the country is Jewish.
It's like 3%, 2-3%.
Yeah,
that's probably a lot of it, but I think also most networks, I mean, it's also, the difference is cable, which Rugrats was on, can get away with that. And broadcast at the time probably wasn't, they'd say something like it's niche or something like that, you know? Mm. And I think Rugrats could be like, no, we're going to do this. And also the thing with Rugrats, the other reason they could do it was mainly a money thing, because Rugrats had this slew of episodes at the beginning. There was actually some brighter arguments. I worked on a video with Saber Sparks about what ruined Rugrats, I think it's called. It goes into all that. But they wanted specials. And I think the people who wrote Rugrats were like, what if we do a Passover special? Because Tommy's Jewish. And Nickelodeon was like, great, a special. I really don't care what it is, but we're getting another episode that we can promote. We can promote it every year. It's different. And I'm sure in the cynical side of me definitely goes like, we'll probably win an award because there's no Passover specials. This is awesome. We'll look diverse and, you know, whatever the 90s version of woke was. And they're like, you know, that's probably a lot of why they did it, because they knew no one's going to do this. We can do it. We get a special event episode that's going to do well because people are hungry for content.
I would agree with that sounds accurate. I would also like to add that I think if you have like Jewish last names and stuff, it's easy enough to add in. If you want to have like representation, it's easy enough to have a Jewish last name, you know, to add Jewish representation to your show if that's what you're trying to do. There is also much more like deep stuff that I think most people would never pick up on, that there is actually quite a bit of it.
Okay.
And you would never know if you weren't Jewish. Like Curb Your Enthusiasm is nothing but like deep Jewish stuff.
Well, yeah, but
and
yeah.
All kinds of shows. A lot of the time there's like, I mean, like any Mel Brooks movie, Spaceballs, there's a lot of references that you would never pick up on if you weren't Jewish.
So it's not so much that it's not there, it's that it hasn't permeated culture enough for people to recognize it.
I think so.
Okay.
But there's also not a whole, there's some of it, but there's not a whole lot of it for probably the reasons that Jim said.
The reason I brought it up is just because it seems like there is a lot of Jewish people in the entertainment industry. I felt like there would be more of it, but that's just me like,
yeah,
thinking about Jewish identity and
it's valid
TV.
It's an idea. I would think that, I mean, there's more of it than there used to be. You have shows like the Goldbergs or whatever from, it was like more than 10 years old at this point, but, but yeah, I mean, probably it goes back to like, even though there's a lot of Jews in the entertainment industry, there's probably also a lot of racists in the anti-Semitism in the entertainement industry too.
Well, you also have to remember that up until like what I was saying with the Rugrats thing, it's like you really, when you made stuff for three channels, it had to be as broad as humanly possible, because they're really the idea of like trying to get as much like what Netflix and all these things do, they can do representation because they're not appealing to like 200 million people at once. And so when you do that, you're not thinking about representation. You're thinking about, unfortunately, although I'm not trying to take their side, they should have done more of that, to be honest. They had enough broadcast hours too, but I think they're, what they would always say, like, I have to appeal to 100 million people and 1 million of them are this religion. I'm not as interested. I'm interested in the majority. And that's
right.
That's kind of why a lot of like really broad bad decisions were made.
Hey Arnold.
Yeah.
There was one episode of Hey Arnold where there's a Jewish character named Harold. You remember Harold from Hey Arnold?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was Jewish and he actually had a bar mitzvah in one episode, I believe. And there was one episode where he stole a ham And I remember thinking, like, why would a Jew steal a ham? But he stole it from what appeared to be like a Jewish butcher. So, like, why would a Jewish butcher have a ham? I might be wrong about that, but
it could have been the kosher ham.
Well, pork's not kosher.
Thing. I shouldn't be talking about this. Why doesn't Joe talk about
it? Well, no, Joe, I mean, not everyone keeps kosher if they're Jewish. Like,
but why would it?
How
but,
orthodox
no, I know,
are.
But that's true. I just remember thinking it was funny that like they had the Jewish character steal a ham.
That's an interesting.
But I think his family
critical
did.
Research. Failure.
I think his family did wear yarmulkes.
I see that a lot, though. I see a lot of where it's like they have the vague idea correct, but they have the research is incorrect. Where it's like the little details that any actual Jewish person would be able to catch, or any basically any social minority whatsoever. So people in the chat are actually talking about this. They're talking about how oftentimes people who are LGBT plus will be shown as LGBT plus, as opposed to multidimensional characters that happen to be part of that identity.
Multifaceted.
I see that a lot.
Yeah.
I still see that a lot.
This is an interesting subject. We've probably talked about it enough to move on to something else.
This is a comedy podcast, goddammit. All right.
Can we talk about Princess? Because I remember those fucked up videos. You know the ones that the South Park guys did, Matt and Trey.
Yes. I just did a review on that in the last
Yeah. Month. I saw that. That's why I thought that we could spend a moment talking about... Lars, have you seen Princess?
No. Can we stick to stuff that all three of us have seen?
Real quick, I think it's... Jim, they spent $2 million on two episodes, right?
Yes.
Because it was supposed to be like a 30-episode series, and after two episodes, they didn't renew it. They hated it, right?
Yeah, so basically this, I forget, is a month since I... researched all this, but whatever company, I think it was
Shockwave?
Shockwave sent them to have a big stock offering and to do get people interested in that stock. They're like, we have a deal with Matt and Trey and they're going to make this cartoon for us and we've given them this big budget, and they basically said to them, you can have full, or they said, can we have full creative control? And they're like, absolutely.
Which was a huge mistake.
Yeah, which they didn't realize what, because they were like, and I think to be fair to them, if you watch any documentaries about it or interviews with them, they were like, look, we were really clear what our theory on putting stuff on the internet, that the internet could go further than TV, because then there's a point to going on the internet because you're like, oh, this is dirtier. And they presented that to The Office. So like, I think this story gets portrayed as like they were doing a prank. Like they did a prank where they literally told everyone, like, it's like, I'm going to throw this, you know, cream pie in your face. And you're like, you're like, yeah, yeah, no, I get it. And you're like, no, but I'm literally going to throw this in your face. And like, And then you throw it in their face. And like, what the hell happened? I didn't expect that. And like, because they kept telling them, but basically the idea of Princess, sorry, I needed to set up all the nonsense.
Yeah.
That Princess, they're going to, you get this whole suburban neighborhood. And there are these various animals, you know, Princess, and like, I think they're going to have names like Wubby Wub and stuff like that. But around them, you have the sexual dysfunctions of the suburban neighborhood. And God. In the first episode, should I spoil another thing, I guess?
Oh, I think it's been long enough.
Okay, so this is not safe for work. So if you're at work, turn this down, maybe. In the first episode, Princess is just in the room, and this couple, this husband-wife couple, like, this guy's got this huge erection, and his wife's trying to, like, jerk him off, basically. And actually, the funny part, like, he can't get off, and she says, like, I have to go take a dump. And that, like, that is very crude, but it's hilarious, because she's trying to talk sexy. She goes, I have to, breaks it, and he goes, I have to take a dump. And he's like, come on! And I was like, that's funny. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Wasn't the name of the episode, like, Princess Hears a Funny Noise or something?
Yes, yeah. But anyway, what... sorry. This is like, I feel like the Dirty Pizza Party podcast on the first podcast messing things up. But basically, she tries to give him a blowjob, and then he comes and it explodes her head. And
I remember, yeah, I remember that.
And then the next episode, even worse things happen. But it's hilarious because they made it and they sent it to these people, and they're like, what did you think? And they were upset, and they didn't
imagine these like studio execs of this, like, not studio execs, but the executives of Shockwave, the company, being like, they're like, this is what we paid $2 million for.
Yeah.
You might have seen it, Lars, and you just didn't, you don't remember, because it was extremely viral back in the early 2000s.
You can find the first one on YouTube. You cannot find the second one, because the second one's a little worse. So you got to go to Dailymotion for that.
Yeah. Sometimes it's difficult to track down a media source, Joe, but when it comes to audiobooks, there's one source above all else, and I think we should go ahead and talk about them.
Sure.
Let's do it. Guys, Audible has a proposition for you. They want to give you a free audiobook today. Free, as in beer, if not free, as in freedom.
What does that
That's
mean?
That's one free audiobook even, today. Yeah. What's that, Joe?
What does that even mean?
So free as in freedom is just like the concept of you can be free to live your life and stuff. But free as in beer means you actually get a free thing for nothing.
So you get a free thing. You sign up at audibletrial.com/T1podcast. You get the free audiobook, but you also acquire freedom of the mind. You're liberated from...
Technically, yeah.
You're liberated from the shackles of society as you read and gain knowledge. You're breaking free. So what you want to do is go to audibletrial.com/T1podcast, download your free audiobook, and free your mind.
Jim, you're a huge Audible fan. Tell us what you've been reading lately.
I am? I mean, yes, I am.
Here, while
should I have come? I was supposed to have a book that I've read.
No, we're just putting you on the spot embarrassingly. No, just to I be jerks. Come, yeah.
You know what? I should have totally. When I listened to Nolan, I was like, man, Nolan had a. He listens to Audible? This is crazy. You know what?
Yeah, we edited it really well.
Edit this, make me sound all smart and stuff. I'm trying to see. I don't know if any of these books have audio versions.
They almost guaranteed do if they're mainstream titles.
That's the thing about Audible is at audibletrial.com/T1podcast, almost all books have an audio version.
Hundreds of thousands of titles, guys, and you can get one for free today.
The entire Amazon Audible library.
Yeah, guys, if you keep the service, they start at very affordable monthly rates. If you don't keep the service, you get to keep the book. So it's a win-win.
True.
Oh, Mr. Wynn in Hey Arnold was not Jewish, but you remember that episode where his daughter from...
Nice transition, by the way, Jim. Yeah, that was smooth. That was something else.
Thank you. Mr. Wynn had a daughter, do you remember that, who was from the Philippines, I believe, Vietnam, actually.
Yeah, and it was Vietnam.
One of the Christmas specials, she came over. Man, what a tearjerker. That episode.
Hey Arnold was a good show.
Yeah.
I like that show.
Yeah.
We were kind of spoiled in the 90s just because everyone was hitting, you had a really good decade of animation that just like changed everything. I don't know. When I look back on the 90s, people are like, what about the grunge and all the this thing? And I'm like, I don't know. Animation was like, that was insane what happened that decade. I just think it's like crazy when you look back on that.
It was all good. I feel like I was actually very influenced by grunge as well. I remember it was back in the very late 90s. It was the time where people wouldn't shower. You would have like the artists that just wouldn't shower, and that was cool.
So that rubbed off on you is what you're saying, Joe?
No, they would have greasy hair. They didn't care about their appearance. Yeah,
I think some very unclean artists. That's what it sounds like to me.
I think it's really cool to not really care about your appearance that much. I think caring about your appearance too much is materialistic. And I see somebody that doesn't care that much and they have that grungy Seattle look or whatever, I'm like, well, that's really cool. It's like a really confident person.
I used to think that about them. And then I look at them now and I go, they look pretty hot for people who don't shower.
What? It helps when you're already pretty attractive in the first place.
Cause I don't look like that when I don't shower. I don't look like I could be like the lead singer of Mudhoney or something. I don't, you know. Even when I was like 15, I was like, man, it's like they have a stylist or something.
You're right.
Yeah, Joe, that's almost like a looksist, if I may say so myself.
Is it? I don't think so. I think that. Obviously the style is, I'm not saying don't shower, I'm saying that I think the grungy style was really cool. Even like Nirvana, like he had like greasy hair.
Yeah, that guy, Mr. Nirvana.
Yeah, Nirvana had.
Yeah, they were kind of my grunge band, Nirvana.
Yeah. But
even though I think they're sort of a punk band more than a grunge band. I think grunge guys who are like going like burr, burr, and like all like the big singing, like very more verbose kind of. And Nirvana was very simple, which is probably why also that band, their back catalog continues to be huge versus the rest of them. I think that's why they stuck out of the pack.
Yeah, I feel that way about Chillwave and Toro y Moi.
How do you feel about current and like the kids' animated shows compared to the 90s?
I mean, I do like what's going on. I mean, I know a bunch of, I went to school with a bunch of those people, so I guess it's a little different because I don't know if like OKKO or Steven Universe I can like fall into it as much as the other ones, but like the Mickey Mouse shorts that Disney made recently are great that my daughter watches, and I do think they're a little more responsible about what they make for kids now too. But like the stuff coming out of Cartoon Network, like We Bare Bears, which just ended, Gravity Falls, a lot of the Adventure Time regular show, a lot of that stuff I think is really great. I don't, you know, I think Adventure Time definitely changed everything. But it does feel different than what, because in the 90s it was really like a huge shift change, and I feel like this is more, Adventure Time shifted in a different way, but I don't think it was as mind-blowing, but I also, you know, was much older when Adventure Time hit.
Yeah. Well, how would you say it changed everything?
Which, Adventure Time?
Yeah.
I think it changed everything from, particularly with Cartoon Network, it seemed like animation, because before Adventure Time, the coolest animation was on Adult Swim. Like, Adult Swim was where you went if you, like, it felt like the fandom of animation was more adult. And as soon as Adventure Time hit, and even My Little Pony hit, and all those things, it changed and opened up a lot more, but it also became far more experimental than I think anyone... Because Adventure Time is a really experimental show. I don't think it gets enough credit for how weird and how many crazy ideas that brought into like a normal home, like more so than any show. I think when people look back 30, 40 years, even though like Game of Thrones was the thing everyone was talking about, I think they'll go like, man, like what was Adventure Time? It was like blowing your mind and doing all these different narrative ideas. And like, it's really like Adventure Time is a really, I know it didn't stay good its entire run or anything, but I do think it accomplished like a pretty tremendous amount, and all the creators that came out of it is just like, you know, Adventure Time is kind of like the, you know, the Nirvana of this era, where it's just like it was the thing that broke everything, you know.
Definitely very, very experimental, it's like a drug trip.
Yeah, and I think it showed people you could do a cult weirder thing, because Nickelodeon rejected it, and I saw that pilot and I was like, this is awesome, there's no way it'll get made, like nobody thought that thing would be a real show. And then when it happened, it was like, oh well, this is a one season wonder, I'm gonna be talking about this, you know, 20 years from now, that Adventure Time had this cool one season, and then it took off. And I think I also, you know, I think there's a theory in animation that goes back to the Fleischer brothers. I know Hayao Miyazaki's written about it, that anything can happen. And I know like that sounds sort of broad and silly and stuff, but I think Adventure Time does that spirit of animation where like you never know what's going to come around the corner. And that makes it so much fun.
Yeah.
You brought something up, by the way, which is really interesting to me, which is that you mentioned Game of Thrones.
Yep.
And I've been noticing something about that, which is that it was like this huge thing for a really long time. But then I guess because of the last season, man, and maybe that last episode, it just died. Like everyone has stopped talking about it.
Well,
like you never hear about it at all. Not even like just to the point where the show's over. Therefore, it's less. It's like that show went to hell in terms of like popular discourse.
I think it's a combination with that show specifically of,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I sort of knew for a while it wasn't a good show.
Yeah.
I could tell you that because the storytelling is really bad, and they do things like suddenly they'd bring something up from four seasons before, and I'd be like, are you kidding me? Like, if I read a comic with that, there'd be four essays on YouTube about how, because comics, but Game of Thrones does it, and it's like really nuanced, and if I really knew what was going on, and I was like, no, I'm sorry, that's bad storytelling. Like, yeah. When comics do that, we make fun of them, but like, this doesn't work. And I also think, and this is a, I don't think I've ever talked about this publicly anywhere, but
you heard it here first.
Yeah, I guess it's a, but I think when that, okay, so first off, my wife was into it. My family was into it. I've watched most of them. I could never remember anybody's name. I never got into it, but I watched, I don't know. I have a very dumb relationship. But whenever, what's her name? Dragon Lady, as I call her.
Yeah, Dragon Lady.
When Dragon Lady at the end, like, burned this whole city down. And suddenly you realize when she was saying bend the knee that, like, oh, she's actually a fascist. Nobody likes wearing t-shirts and talking about how she was a strong woman and all this stuff when you go like, oh my God, we followed a fascist this whole time. And it just hit me that she's an awful person. And I think when collectively everyone went through that, they who love this character, because I think people really did like that character. That's narratively, I was like, I thought that was actually kind of cool that they made everyone go, see, you fell for this lady who you thought was going to free all these cities, but she is a fascist and that's awful.
Do you think there was like the message behind it that this is what happens? Fascists are very charismatic.
I think I don't. Well, from my understanding, those guys aren't that smart who wrote it. So I think maybe I'm putting too much into it. But I think I do think that moment did make you feel like, oh, you ever all and everyone who followed her felt you could sell on screen felt that way too. So I think there was part of that was in there. But it seemed like no one really wanted to get into it because you kind of felt bad that you're wearing a bend the knee shirt. Because I saw those everywhere. And suddenly you go, wait, what? Because I always thought, like, that's a weird shirt to wear. Like, I wouldn't... like that's a weird thing. Like, you're bending
your
knee.
You have to explain. Yeah.
I was like, that's a strange one. So I think... I do think that particularly. And when I've talked to people about it, they don't want it, who are fans of it, they don't want to get into it. And I think it's because it's like, yeah, you realized what you were following. And I also think, you know, it was trying to be more complicated and political, which I don't think worked. To me, it's like, I would much rather watch like The Wire. I think that's like the great TV show that came out of HBO. I don't think Game of Thrones was ever the great TV show. It was just an event, you know? And I think people got too swept up in it and those writers weren't very good. And I'm sure if I followed her whole arc, the fascist ending makes it sound really cool, but I don't think it had a lot of those great moments, you know, it just needed.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry. I hope that theory worked out.
No, it's probably right. And also it's just interesting that like today, to this day, we still hear about Breaking Bad. We still hear about the first four seasons of Dexter. You know, it's like stuff that really has culturally permeated the discourse, and just Game of Thrones, just it's gone. It's so weird to not see it anymore. People just don't care.
You can't alienate your audience. And I think when you give them a bad feeling, like we don't talk about Cosby that much either. And not that Game of Thrones ending is as bad as Cosby. Don't think I'm saying that, but I think when the only similarities is when you give people icky feelings or like, they're like, oh, I don't want to deal with that. Which is also like, I've seen people in the chat talk about like Star Wars. I think that's what's happening with Star Wars right now. I think it's happened with Ghostbusters. When you make things too overly complicated and political, it's like not fun, because I think a lot of people look at Game of Thrones, Ghostbusters, Star Wars is like, I'm gonna open up a beer, I'm gonna chill with my friends or whatever and watch this thing. And as soon as it becomes like, oh, I'm gonna have to go into work tomorrow and like debate The Last Jedi with Greg, this is awful, you know what I mean? And I think like,
yeah,
that's what tampers that. It's not that people are against having discussions, it's that like that's not what a cold one were for people. And I think when they become murky like that and less clear, like Breaking Bad was a complicated show, but it didn't leave you with something else in the end that was not what you expected and was
I like terrible. The way it ended. I do.
That was a great that was a great show up until the end, you know. But I think also because people knew it was like this complicated, and also you can talk to people at the office and go like, wasn't that good? And you're like, yeah.
But it doesn't cause you to, not have these. I would say the most passionate debate was like whether or not Walt was a good guy or not. Ultimately. Yeah.
I mean,
but yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead. I didn't mean to like derail you.
No, that was an interesting debate I found, because that's another one like the Dragon Lady. Sorry, I keep calling it that.
I think that was her actual name, by the way.
The Dragon Lady thing, where you're like, I liked hearing people like, well, he's not that bad. And I was like, you know, most drug dealers I've known, people wouldn't debate that with. But it's interesting they're thinking about it. So, but it was a health. I think that was less combative. So I think that's why people are more okay with it.
What do you think? Do you think Walter White was a bad guy?
Yeah.
I think so too. I think he really only cared about himself and his legacy, and
I mean,
he caused so much destruction and death.
I think the problem with human nature is there's a lot of people who, like, you know, he was a school teacher, and that seems like if you're a school teacher like that, then he had cancer and all these things, that they're in effect a good person. And I think morality is more complex than that. And I think a lot of people, if they're put in those positions, who you mm-hmm. think are sort of good people would do some pretty awful things in those situations, or maybe morally aren't as good as you thought they were, despite what their societal role is, you know? And I think that's something a lot of people don't like to think about. I think they think like, oh, he's a teacher, he's a husband, he's a good person. But I mean, one thing I majorly learned in life, like when I got married and had a kid, mm-hmm. like suddenly people are like, oh, you're like this good, honest person. I was like, I don't know if like that, it's really weird, because I don't think that makes you an honest person. I think doing good moral things is like makes you that. And I think people.
Yeah, anyone could.
Yeah, no, anyone can get married and have a kid. It's like you don't have to be a good person to do those things. But I think.
How old were you when you got married, by the way?
It was 2009. I was like 26, I believe. Okay. So yeah, I've been married for like over 10 years at this point.
Cool.
So yeah, we were young. Congrats. So, oh, thank you. But we were very young, but I did notice that like women in particular would be like, oh, you're like, would view me differently after I was married. And I thought that was strange. I was like, oh.
Where did you go on your honeymoon?
We went to Iceland. Actually,
which
was cool, in Reykjavik, and then to England because my wife's half English.
So. Where did you visit in England?
Kind of like London, and I met her grandparents and stuff like mm-hmm. that. You know, it was cool. We went like a year later. Didn't do a real wedding. We went to a courthouse, so it was a very low key, you know, which was cool. I enjoyed it.
I wouldn't want to have a big wedding. I would rather spend the money on a honeymoon or a house or something.
It's based on what, you know, you both, when you're getting married, want and stuff, but it's a lot. Like, it's a year of planning. It's basically a huge party. Mm-hmm. It can get really tempered down. You can have fights with your loved ones. You can end up having it be more about your parents or your spouse's parent. It just becomes a whole thing. But it is weird. Like, we skipped out on that. So sometimes I'll be a part of a wedding. And I'm like, oh, what are we doing now? What's up? That's the thing. Like, I was like, I guess I should know this, but like, that's what we do now.
Oh, there's the expectation that you had a wedding, right? So are people surprised when they found out that you didn't?
Sometimes, I guess, you know, I think family members wanted me to do a bigger thing, but I think it's like the thing with doing that is I also think there's so much attention on you that would make me uncomfortable. You know, although I do stuff online and like, I'm on Twitter and like, you know, I have, you know, people who follow me and stuff. It's different. Like being like that on all day.
Sorry, you cut exhausting. Out. Did you say that you, for one word, you said there'd be so much pressure. There's so much attention on you. So did you say you would feel uncomfortable? Is that what you said?
Yeah, I would feel uncomfortable. I think we would both feel uncomfortable, which is why we didn't
do that's it. That's cool. I mean, just did your own thing.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I think it's a personal thing, but I understand like some people go, I don't want to do that to my parents and stuff. I'm like, that's fine. You know, my parents weren't in love with the idea, to be honest. So, you know,
weren't in love with the idea that you wouldn't have a.
Yeah. That we're just doing a
courthouse. You said you had no wedding, right? Not that it was.
No. Well, I mean, it was sort of like a courthouse thing, but it wasn't like a big wedding or anything like that.
Apparently what one of my cousins did is when him and his wife got married, he called up his parents and said, I need you to meet me at the courthouse on Monday. I'm getting married.
Oh, I've heard people do that too.
Which is, that's cool. I mean, it's really just the person's choice.
Yeah. I mean, I probably would, I was young and probably would have done it better, but I don't know if I'd do the thing, but it's again, like a personal, I think it's a personal choice and like what you want to do. And, but weddings are a lot and it's a lot of planning and a lot of, you know, but if you want to go through all that and it's a lot of money and like, it's a, as much as fun as this comedy podcast is, as it's just a lot. It's a lot to take on, you know, and it's like the major thing you're doing in that part of your life. So, and I do think if you like make stuff on the regular, it makes less sense because you're like, I think for most people, that's their big event of their life. That's like one of the things they did is like, they did this wedding, they had kids, and that's like, takes
for
on
me,
a bigger
I don't
thing.
Think I would want to have such a big wedding because it would seem like a lot of pressure. Like you're putting on a big party, and if it doesn't go over well, or if people get drunk and fight, that's out of your control. And you have to have everybody from both sides of the family there. And like, maybe I don't want everybody from both sides of the family there together.
It's a lot of planning.
Yeah.
All right. This is getting a little dry. Let's move on.
No. Let's keep talking. No, I'm just kidding. So
sorry if that was too much wedding stuff.
Do you have a favorite genre of all time?
I kind of try not to because I don't. I know that's sort of lame, but I try to be a little more objective than that. So I don't. Mm-hmm. I don't know. There's some like things like certain directors and certain creators I'll like follow no matter what. But then there's, I don't know, maybe depends on, I guess no, okay. Sorry.
And Spaghetto from the chat is asked, he says that he can't hop on because of a weak connection, but he wants to know your favorite horror movie so that he can watch it.
Probably John Carpenter's Halloween would be up there for me.
Oh, that's a good one.
Because I used to watch it literally every Halloween for years, and I've seen it too many times where I literally just feel like I know every beat and I've researched it, and that's, and it's a great movie. I think it's one of the best of all time.
Apparently he purchased that specific movie last night. That's really randomly specific and on point. Good job, Spaghetto.
Cool. Well, that was a good one.
Very synchronistic.
That was a good way to do it.
Oh, what did you think of Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
Like the original, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, I quite like that movie. That's a disturbingly gross kind of movie. There's not many movies that feel dirty the whole time you're watching it. And even when they restore it, I'm like, it's like, you can't see the film grain, but it's like in its soul in a weird way.
I liked it too.
And that it's just such a kind of creepy kind of film. And actually a funny story about when I was watching it. If you've seen that film, there's a part where they're all laughing at the dinner table. And I was watching it when I reviewed it, and my wife was pregnant at the time, and she came out and goes, what the hell are you watching? And it was like that scene. And I was like, I was like, man, I can't defend this. Like this just looks like what the hell is going on with me right now. Cause you walked in at like this horrible scene. It was fun. I laughed, which didn't make it any better. they were laughing. I was like, wow, you picked the right time. Maybe
I watched that movie when I was a kid. I must have been about 11, and I feel like that was a good age to like for like nightmare fuel, and
yes.
It was good though. I enjoyed it. What about?
Let's not just like list off movies individually. And
no. There was one more. What about Cabin Fever?
I wasn't as into that one.
Okay,
to be honest with you. I'm not the huge Eli Roth.
Those are like the two horror movies that I remember the most. But, all right.
Okay. So is there anything else you guys want to get to? Someone in the chat did say that Cube is a good. Yeah, it's very idiosyncratic, but yeah, Cube's a trip to watch.
I like Cube. Cube's cool.
Haven't seen it.
Don't read about it ahead of time. Just go watch it.
I've always thought Cube is the cooler sci-fi version of Saw.
Mm-hmm. Really interesting movie. Let's leave it at that. So you let people discover it.
Yes.
Okay.
Cube, the 3D rendition of Square. What next? What should we talk about next?
Oh, I was going to say we could probably wrap it up unless you have another topic to get to, Joe.
Jim, a few weeks ago, you made a video pitching a Tom Cruise in space movie.
Yes.
Can we go around in a circle and pitch our own best Tom Cruise movie?
Okay.
Who wants to go first?
I can go.
Sure.
It's a documentary film where he says, "I finally admit it."
About Scientology?
Nope.
I'm going to, before I can green light this, I'm going to need more. I'm going to need some plot points or something.
Well, I'm going to find something for you. One second. Stall the show, Joe.
Does he admit that he's short?
I don't know.
That would be interesting.
Let's talk about Cabin Fever some more. I mean, it was okay. I mean, I watched it when I was pretty young, so I don't really remember that much of it, but I remember finding out years later that it did not have very good reviews, and I remember not being surprised.
I mean, Eli Ross kind of, I don't know. He's never just like, I guess I like the first Hostel, but he's never been somebody who I'm like, ooh, a new Eli Ross. You know, it's like he could disappear and 10 years later and go, oh yeah, what happened to that guy? Like, I just didn't, he never really, I know he's like a Tarantino acolyte, but he just never did it for me. But I did see Cabin Fever at the time. I do have a funny story that came out of watching that movie, I guess.
Sure.
It's a little, I don't know. It's a little saucy, I guess. My friend had this thing when we were at a party, and he did it with his friends, but he clued me into it. He was at a party and he saw a girl who he liked. Suddenly someone would be like, hey, who's that guy on who's in Cabin Fever and Boy Meets World? And he was like, Ryder Strong? And he was like, yeah, Ryder Strong. Cool. Sorry, I forgot. And that's how you knew he was, which is like a innuendo too. Which was like his like clever way we knew to leave him alone.
I see. cool.
Anyway, sorry. Maybe that's not that funny.
Well, I don't think I have the building blocks to.
Joe, you're the one who asked for these pitches.
No, this was a separate.
No,
story.
He was talking about something else.
Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Because it's like a euphemism. His name is like an innuendo. Like,
what was the name again?
Ryder Strong.
Ryder Strong.
Like ride her. Anyway, okay.
Oh,
all right,
okay.
Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry,
yeah.
I thought
Ryder. I hardly knew her. Yeah.
See,
exactly.
It was like I was. It's not the greatest. Maybe it's good we cut this out.
No, let's leave it. I would say for my Tom Cruise movie, he works in a bank and he develops this way. He's gonna rob the whole bank. And he doesn't realize that in order to do that, he has to work like at least in corporate. Like, he's just like a bank teller. So he comes up with this plan where it doesn't work. It doesn't work. That's it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Isn't that the plot to the original Ocean's 11?
Haven't seen it.
Okay. Yeah. Apparently. Yeah. The difference there is that it doesn't work. Like Ocean's 11 from back in the 60s or whatever, they fail. That's kind of the downer ending. Kind of glad they changed it. I actually really like the Ocean's trilogy, to be honest. I know it's a guilty pleasure, but
I've been meaning to rewatch them because I didn't appreciate them at the time. But I also think when those movies came out with that director, I think we all wanted something that it was not what those movies were. And that director, Soderbergh, who I'm a big fan of, actually, he makes so many different things. Like, his filmography goes all over the place, and he kind of rejects the auteur thing.
Yeah.
And I think he had just won an Oscar. That was that year he got nominated twice for Best Director and won that year. He was, like, the hottest, coolest director. And he makes this kind of, like, fun, fluffy celebrity movie. And I think everyone was like, what? I don't understand. Like, it was just strange. And I think I've watched clips of it later. And I was like, why were we so hard on this? Like, I feel like it was just everybody put, there was so much discussion about how great he was a year before. And then you put out Ocean's 11. And I think that wasn't where the cinephile world wasn't ready to switch gears as easy it is now.
Well, if you go into the movie expecting a bunch of pretty good actors and some of them really fantastic actors just kind of all hanging out together with an excuse plot to go rob a bank, and there's lots of, like, you know, nice, easy to listen to music and stuff, and people are kind of clever, and you don't really have like a huge expectation for a great plot or anything, it's a lot of fun. Maybe even have a drink or two just to improve the experience. And like, obviously it's no Citizen Kane, but it's an enjoyable experience if you forgive it for what it's not.
It's better than the original with the Rat Pack, I would say. And I've seen the Rat Pack one, and it doesn't move as well. And Soderbergh knew how to make that like a fun you know, it's like a fun movie with likable personalities. And I also think that's not as easy to do as people took credit for now. I feel like now we appreciate pop better. And now we'd be like, oh, you know, there's actually talent behind getting all these people, you know, casting this with fun people and like getting it shot in a fun way and having it be enjoyable. And, you know, I would agree those movies were underappreciated in their time.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't get it, you know, unfortunately. Although you wouldn't think that would be a movie people wouldn't get, whatever.
Well, maybe maybe it's the job of the critic to, whether they get it or not, to say whether it's a great movie, and I don't think it is a great movie. Oh, great, fireworks right now. Fantastic. Do you guys have this in your neighborhoods? This has been happening to me for the last several months. There's a dude who just lights off fireworks every night.
I read I think it was the New York Times did a piece on it, and they've actually gone out and interviewed some of these people who shoot off fireworks all the time. And it was kind of what I thought was going on, which was, and also graffiti is way up since COVID and everything shut down, which this is leading to as well. And if you ask them, they're like, especially around Juneteenth, there were a lot of fireworks in my neighborhood going off. And I think they were like, look, we've made it. June was rough. This whole thing was rough. I'm alive. You know, I'm still getting unemployment. You know, I have fireworks. This is awesome. And, you know, we can shoot off fireworks and I'm celebrating. And that's kind of like the vibe.
Yeah.
You know? And a lot of the people who've done it have also said like, look, I don't have to get up for work early tomorrow. Like I'm still here. This has been a rough couple of months. I want to shoot off fireworks. And I was like, oh, so it's not, because everyone had these conspiracy theories. And I was like, I think it's just like people are bored and this is a weird time to be alive in general.
Yeah.
I've got some fireworks getting shot off in my neighborhood, usually several a night for the past couple weeks, and they're really close to my apartment too, so I can see them huge in the sky, and it's freaky a little bit.
I really wish they wouldn't do it at like midnight or something. I mean, like, I get that they don't have to go to work, but some people do, like I'm one of them. It's just...
And dogs.
Yeah.
Dogs have to go to work.
Yeah, how are they going to play poker if they're tired? I mean, it's just like, it's not fair to these dogs.
Yeah, I know. They have to walk because they can't drive. So they're walking. Yeah. They're tired. You know. Do you take the subway when you go to work, Jim?
I haven't in a couple of months, but I'm still employed. But I used to. I used to love taking the subway, but it...
Why do you like to take the subway? Is it just like a slice of life?
It's that, and I can just listen to a podcast. And I used to actually, on my way back from work, I would take a nap, and I was so wired with my route, I would wake up right when I got to my stop, and I'd get up and leave. I had it down. I was real proud of it. Now, that's awesome. that muscle memory's gone, and now I'm like, and I don't feel comfortable sleeping on the subway anymore. But
yeah, do you listen to the Pizza Party podcast?
When I'm recording it. No, sometimes, you know what, this is going to sound cheesy and lame, but at first I would listen to it because I was very self-conscious when I was doing podcasts. If I knew how I was doing it, like game tape or something, I was very, any podcast I was on, I was very like critical of myself, and I was very nervous and like, did I say the right thing or did I do the right research and stuff? And now with the Pizza Party podcast, if I'm like having a bad day, I will literally put it on because I'm like, oh, I can hear that good time I had with my friends. That'll like kind of cheer me up. So now it used to be more like, got to say the right things and be funny. And because we weren't friends, you know, I kind of came on as a guest and became a person on it. But now it's like today sucked. I just want to hear Izzy laugh at that joke Nolan said. And that's what I want, you know, for a little. I never listen to a full one because, you know, like in Pee-wee's Big Adventure, like I don't need to listen to it. I lived it, you know.
Yeah, I hear you. Joe, do you ever listen to old episodes of our show? I listen to it all the time because I'm the editor, but I'm just kind of curious.
Yeah, I do. Sometimes I go back and listen to like specific episodes, and I do.
Any particular reason?
The episodes that I liked, I'll go back and listen to them again. I would say no particular reason other than I thought it was funny. Like the Bren Daniel one's really good.
And the Jim one? Joe, flatter our guest.
But the episode hasn't come out yet.
Yeah, all right.
That's true.
Okay.
That's true. He's still living it.
Right. Well, yeah.
This would be an interesting Spaceballs scenario if he was like, I'm actually listening to the beginning of this podcast right now.
Oh.
Which I am.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like there's so many things I want to talk about with like movies and cinema, but I feel like they're like 45 minute discussions and there's no time for them. Here, I'll mention this because this is something I did want to get into. Do you have any future plans for your channel and your content?
I do have a lot. I work on a lot of stuff at once. Like I'm constantly uploading things. I don't want to talk about too many because I don't, not that I have amazing $1 billion ideas.
Mm-hmm.
So I do this thing called Every Show Ever. And basically what it is, I go through, I've done it with Hanna-Barbera, Kids WB, Fox Kids. And it's literally, I list off every show ever of Fox Kids. And mm-hmm. then I show a picture of it and has the dates on it. And it's become kind of a bigger thing for me, but it's also a good way. And I've gotten like actually very passionate, believe it or not, passionate responses from people, particularly during the George Floyd things. A couple of people are like, I just watched my friend get beat up by a cop, but I came home and watched you literally just recite Kids WB shows. And that actually helped me. I was like, I didn't respond like that's strange, but okay. But I was, you know, respectful. I found it to be a little odd, but I'm trying to do one about every Saturday morning show of the big three network. So I'm working on a CBS one right now. Because I find the big three are kind of the Saturday morning stuff are kind of, there's not a lot of nostalgia for those anymore. And it's sort of like kind of lost, even though for most of Saturday morning's existence, those were the only channels up until, you know, Fox Kids happened in the 90s. So I'm kind of interested in getting into those. I'm going to do more video essays. I have a video essay series called Deep Focus. I have my live stream show on Saturday nights, not this Saturday, July 4th, but every other Saturday at 10:30. I'm trying to do more with that. And I don't know, I kind of just want to do more lost media, more reviews. And also I'm kind of trying to do more representation because I have been thinking about that more. And I did one recently on the short I Can Remember, which was a short on Sesame Street. It's by this guy, I think his name's Jim Simon, who directed it. And he's kind of a forgotten animator. And I'm kind of trying to find directors and filmmakers who don't have a lot of reviews out, because I was like, you know what, if one thing I'm not the biggest content creator in the world, obviously, but if I can be, you know, if I can give that one director who deserves a review of them and give them a few reviews, then I'm going to try to do that. So I'm sort of working in both the ways to get people to watch my stuff and ways that are like a little more obtuse.
Mm-hmm.
But I also, I do a lot. I'm very eclectic in what I do. So I hope that answered that question, and I'm also working on a personal video essay, which I hope to have out in the next couple of weeks, but I can't really talk about that.
All right. Cool. And if people wanted to check out this content, where can they go do that?
You can just Google my name actually and go, Google Jim Gizriel and I come up, or go to YouTube, youtube.com/Jim Gizriel, or just YouTube search my name and I'll be right there. Very searchable.
That's Gizriel.
Yes. Yes.
And the podcast that you're on is called
The Pizza Party Podcast, or the Rebel Taxi Pizza Party Podcast.
Ah,
cool. Cool. Well, yeah. thank you for telling us where to find you.
Oh, well, thank you for telling them where to find me.
Of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, Joe, if people wanted to wear the podcast, what's the best way to do that?
Merch.t1podcast.com.
By the way, if you're interested in bonus content, bonus episodes of the podcast, bonus clips, early release privileges to episodes like this as soon as they're done being edited, a funny role in the Discord, a patron-only chat where we mock the plebs, and more. Go to patreon.com/T1podcast. It helps support the show and your favorite content creators, Joe and Lars. It only costs you 6 cents a day. It's nothing. And you got a lot of cool bonus content. patreon.com/T1podcast. Jim, this episode has been quite a long ways in the making, and I really wanted to thank you for coming on.
Oh, well, thank you for having me, and thank you for bearing with me to getting me finally on.
Yeah, thank you. This has really been an amazing... I enjoyed talking with you a lot, and I had a great time. So thank you again for coming on.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Of course.
All right, Joe, can you play us out?
If you're looking for ways to find me on TikTok, I'm on TikTok at Disney Joey and Joey Cooks, and my other podcast is theonlytiktokpodcast.com. I'm also starting a podcast with Spaghetto called The Spaghetto Podcast. Thanks for tuning in, everybody.
You got a song?
Yeah.
Okay. Longshong in the chat, by the way, says that his mic has developed a bit of static on it. It's a good thing he's not one of the hosts, and he's not going to be on this.
Yeah, we'll have to diagnose that after the show, after the recording.
Yeah.
All right.